I'm really going to share about is hearing his voice and obeying him and doing good works. When we hear what he says and obey him and do things, then amazing miracles happen, like what happened with you, hearing Holy Spirit, praying, and then God actually acting and doing a miracle, actually. So, and that's actually what God's called us to live, the simple obedience that actually breaks open a miraculous life. And it's such a joy and an absolute adventure. C.S. Lewis says it's a quest. We go on this quest through life to actually walk in step with his Spirit. So how exciting is that? Cool. So we're going to start with John 1 John 5, verse 1 to 5. And you can turn in your Bibles, or I think we're going to throw it up on the screen there. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Beautiful, yeah? And we were singing those words just now, Jesus is the Christ. That's how simple it is, just to know and believe this Jesus. That's how we start our journey with Christ, is to believe that he is the Son of God. He is who he says he is. And we finish our race strong, still believing that Jesus is the Christ. He is the only one that makes a way to the Father. And that's incredible. It's so simple, but that's how we stay on fire for God, keeping on believing that simple truth. And you'll see as you walk and journey with God, often we don't believe that Jesus is. Sometimes through our lives, we get challenged with that. Do we still really believe? We all know what to say. Yes, Jesus is Christ. He is God. But do we really believe that? Do we show that belief through our actions? So can we confidently say, if we ask that question today, can we confidently say that loving Jesus and his sheep is the sole pursuit of our lives? Sure. It's a hard question to answer, hey? Matthew 16, verse 15 to 17. I'm going to throw that up on the board. It says here, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Sure. Amazing, eh? So I'm just starting my stopwatch, and I just realized that could help. All right, so who do you say? Who do you say? If Jesus had to ask you today, who do you say he is? Have you thought about that question? It's actually the most important question that we can ask ourselves. And do we have faith that he is who he says he is? He's not just a man. He's actually God. So simple, but true. We need to have faith. We need to actually believe that. Faith, it's been said that faith is the currency of the kingdom. And before God, in fact, the poorest person in the room here today is the one who doesn't have faith and believe that Jesus is the Christ. Revelation 3:17 says, you say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So guys, it doesn't matter what we have, how we look on the outside. Actually, it's about whether we believe that Jesus is the Christ. That is the richest person in the room. It doesn't matter about circumstance. If you've got a fancy house, if you live in a shack, if you have a car, or if you catch a train, what counts is what's in your heart and whether you have faith in God. So that's just a quick introduction. And I'm going to be talking about three things that actually help us to grow in God today. All right, so that just kind of sets the scene. It's actually amazing how things just happened in the service, even just in the worship today, that just talking about Jesus, he's the Christ, eh? How beautiful is that? And we're hidden in him, we're born again, we know the Savior. Man, if we know who we are in God, if we know him as our friend, it changes everything. Okay, so how do we know God? Have you ever asked that question? Maybe you know who Jesus is, but does Jesus know you? Thorin actually said something quite profound to me last year. We were talking about a family member. You guys all know who this is, but he's saying He proclaims to know Jesus, but does Jesus know him? Okay? It was a great question, because I think he knows about Jesus. He knows about him, but it feels like Jesus doesn't know him. He doesn't have that intimate relationship with the living King. And that's important, to know him intimately. Do you know the truth about who he says you are? Hey? Yes, guys, that's a mini preach all on its own. But I'll summarize it just now for you if you're just wondering. Okay, we might know about Jesus in practice, but we might know about him in theory, but do we know about Jesus in practice? What does it mean, like, in everyday life? We might know all the scriptures, but how do we work that out? And Vanessa, again, she was just touching on that. Hearing the Holy Spirit is one of the big keys to knowing God. An example of this, I can probably think of loads of examples to my detriment, but it's quite an old example. I think I might have shared this before, but I was living in Pine Lands a few years back, and I remember I parked my car outside Merripack. There's a little gravel car park, it's still there today. And I think I was with the boys, they were quite young. And I don't know, for some reason, I got out of my car and I started walking to the shop, and I felt like, yes, I should actually move my car. I don't know if it's such a good idea to park that car and leave it where it is. And I thought, ah, man, that's like silly. I mean, come on, like, why? You just park a car where you find a space, you know? And then I just brushed it off and then went into the shop, came out, and as I started walking towards my car, I just looked at the back windscreen. I thought, yes, something just looks a bit different. And the whole back windscreen was shattered. And I was like, ooh, okay, what happened here? And then as I kind of got a little bit closer to the car, I looked around the corner, I saw there were cops, and there was a van that had overturned close a few meters from my car. There was a full-on accident, and this car had actually rolled. It was actually a Merripack delivery van. Somebody had cut in front of it, and it obviously thrown a stone up, and it shattered the windscreen. So, just needless to say, I was quite shaken. I was like, flip, okay, God, like, that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And I actually didn't obey him. I actually disobeyed him and just brushed it off. I thought, ugh, you know, like, that's just my mind, you know, like you were saying, Vanessa, it's just something, ugh, that's silly. Devil loves to, like, downplay what the Holy Spirit's saying. And sure, so it was quite a wake-up for me. The incredible end of that story was that God is gracious. I mean, we actually knew the owner. I think Shantz, we had some kind of relationship with her. She's actually a lovely lady, and we told her what happened, and she actually ended up paying for the windscreen because it was one of her trucks. Somebody, they had obviously a claim from insurance, and they actually replaced my back windscreen. So even when you disobey God, he somehow makes it look like it was meant to be, hey? It's not always like that, but I was just, you know, God loves me. I'm his favorite son, so he just kind of made a plan for me. Don't worry, guys. We're all his favorite, eh? He's got a lot of favorites. Billions, in fact. But the moral of the story is, are we listening to our master? Are we listening to him as we journey through this life? He speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. He said, it's actually better that I go, that I might send one just like me that will actually lead you into all truth. He'll actually show you the way to go. We can have this Bible, we can have this manual, but do we have the Holy Spirit? Do we have him? Have we opened our ears to hear his voice? He says, my sheep will know my voice. And it's important that we start practicing the presence of God, actually getting to know his voice, that we can respond. Because when he tells us, there's a reason. There's big, important things that could happen. There's consequences that happen if we don't obey him, actually don't walk in step with him. I was reading, actually, there's a great book, The Men We Need, and it's actually Benji's book. It's a great one. But it says we make something like 35,000 decisions a day. Huh? So it's really important to be in tune with the Holy Spirit to help us with those decisions. I mean, I'm not saying like we need to ask him like which shoelace to tie first, the things like that. But there are a lot of, life is all about choices and making good decisions. So Jacques Dutoy always says, make good decisions, seriously. It's so important. Yeah, man, he's our closest friend, and he wants to be involved with our lives. And just because we can't see him doesn't mean he's not real. He's there. Just another example is like my closest friend in my life, apart from Jesus, actually in the front row here, Chantal. And you know, I really want to spend as much time as I can with her. I don't know about you and with your spouse, but I mean, definitely, like, we try and do as much as we can together because it's just cool hanging out with her. Like, I'd be so lost if she wasn't with me. In more ways than one. But that's how Jesus wants us to be, man. He wants us to be in love. It's like somebody that we can love even more than we love our spouses, but he's not there. But he is there. That's the thing. And the Holy Spirit leads us into that place. And God challenged me a bit on this recently, was that people can actually become an idol in your life. And actually, Chantal, she did become an idol recently, and she, in a way, replaced Jesus. And she actually tuned me. Recently, she said to me, you're actually out of line. She said it quite strongly to me. She said, you're making me bigger than Jesus. And I can't handle that pressure. I can't. Hey, what did you say?
I was, for a while, I was feeling frustrated and irritated with Jules, and I couldn't put my finger on it, and I was really crying out to God. I was like, man, I don't like feeling like this towards Julian. Like, what is going on? And then it happened on Wednesday morning, and I just looked at him, and he said, are you angry with me? And I said, I don't think so. I said, I feel really frustrated with you at the moment. And as I said that, God said he's made you an idol. And I said, I feel like you've made me an idol. And I don't like that. It makes me feel really, really uncomfortable, because that place can only be fulfilled by Jesus. And it makes me feel unsafe and insecure, actually, in our marriage. Like I can't have that. You need to be in love with Jesus, because when you are in love with him, then I can follow you much easier like that. It's almost like I can't trust you if you put me in a place that Jesus is supposed to be in. Like he said, I can't handle that kind of pressure, and I don't want to be anybody's idol.
That's good, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, and then after she had spoke to me, I realized, okay, I need to actually process. I'd done that for a reason, because I was battling. We were just sharing recently, the last month, just felt like there was really a fight on for us, for our tension for God, like as elders, and actually pressing into the Lord and spending time with him. And I said, okay, God, like, I'm just going to be really honest with you. And I just went and journaled. I wrote down how I was feeling. And one of the reasons was I was actually feeling rejected by my earthly dad. I'd actually been through a bit of a tough time. We had a difficult conversation, and he'd said something to me, and it really had hurt me. And I needed to process that emotion with God. I couldn't process that everything with my wife or an accountability partner. I actually had to go to Jesus and run to him and say, Lord, just help me with this thing. Help me, like, deal with that pain and frustration and rejection. And I did that. And I promise you, things just shifted from that moment. There was just such a huge change. I just made right with God. I said, God, you know what? I'm sorry. It's not right. And even our marriage is really, like, in a much better place, actually. There's peace in the home. I'm not fighting or as frustrated with the boys. So it's important for us to make sure that our relationship with Jesus is number one. That's in a good place. We can't find our fulfillment in anyone else. So, yeah, and I don't want to dishonor my dad. I mean, yeah, he's got his own brokenness. And I've had to realize that actually my identity's got to be, I've got to find that in God. I've got to find who he says I am. Okay? So, Malcolm actually shared recently, I don't know if any of you guys were at the worship time, but he says, if we really believe who Jesus says we are in Scripture, we'll be unstoppable. Huh? If we really believe who Jesus says we are in Scripture, we'll be unstoppable. So if you're not sure who Jesus says you are, I've encouraged the Rods of this world. Hey, Rods, I hope you're doing this. Eh? I've said to you, I've given guys, I can put this on the broadcast group, but it's important to know. I mean, it's like that cliche that's stuck up on the fridge. Jesus says, this is who I am according to Scripture. I mean, you guys all read those Christianese fridge sticker things, but it's really important who he says that I am. We're children of God. We're chosen and adopted into his family. We're valuable. We're redeemed. We are new. We have become a new creation. We're new people. We're friends of God. Huh? We're a friend of God. We're an ambassador of Christ. We're members of Christ's body, and we're exceedingly loved. Huh? We're exceedingly loved. Psalm 18:19 says, he rescued me because he delighted in me. How awesome is that, eh? David was running. He was in a battle. He was fearing for his life. And he prayed out to God, and God like literally came down out of the heavens and rescued him because he delighted in him. How awesome is that? Oh, come on, God, you're so amazing. So knowing God is just absolutely crucial, guys. So, yeah. So that's the first key to growing God. We've got to know Christ. We have to have a vital relationship with Jesus. The second thing is being with God. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm not sure about you guys, I know Dill wakes up and sings hymns. But I think I'm a simpler guy. I just say to God, Lord, help me get through this day. Often, that's my prayer. Lord, just help me. I'm not ready for this day. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but you can help me. Okay, so it's important to be with God. And if you don't know what to pray specifically, pray in tongues. We could even pray, I think, maybe even in the response, let's pray for baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do you guys all speak in tongues? Okay? Anybody that doesn't speak in tongues, maybe just stick up your hand. Would you guys like to speak in tongues? Huh? Okay, we'll pray for you after, because that is the starter pack to Christianity. I'm not putting pressure on you. You have to speak in tongues, but it is something that God does want to bless us with. And if you're not sure what to pray, we can pray in line with the Holy Spirit and what he wants us to pray. So Ephesians 5, verse 18 to 19 says, I love this. Back in the day, I used to get drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with wine, because it'll ruin your life. Okay? Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself, and make music to the Lord in your hearts. Okay? So let's be filled with the Spirit. It starts with an encounter. If you're feeling down, worship is your weapon to lead us into his presence. So if you're starting on a blue day, and we all have those, just come against that old person, that old Julian. Kick him out the door like Brad is saying and tell him to get lost and say, no, I'm a new Julian. I'm a new creation. Today I'm going to worship you, Jesus. I'm going to love you. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14 to 18. Okay, there we go. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can only be removed by believing in Christ. Yes, even today when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. But, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who've had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Hey? There's freedom for us, guys. When we encounter God, when we get into his presence, that changes everything. It transforms us from the inside out. And maybe today you're sitting here, you might need to repent of unbelief. Maybe you haven't believed that Jesus is Lord, that he's actually King of Kings, man. He's the one that when we encounter him, we one moment with God, and I promise you, it literally changes everything. Hey? Sure. So the last key is doing the stuff. And this is, I want to kind of focus on this, and then that's the last thing we're going to touch on. Okay. Not my timer. Doing the stuff. Okay. Can we test ourselves and know how much we love God? Is there a way of doing that? Okay. The scripture says, 1 John 5 verse 2. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Sure. So if we're not, the measure of us, of how much we love God is how much do we love his children. And that's our fellow believers. So how much of our time is taken up loving the saints in this congregation? It's a good question to ask. Look at your calendar. How often are we connecting with people? How often, when was the last time we had someone around for dinner or went for a run together, like Cameron and I went at 5:30 the other morning. It was so cool. It was completely dark. It was so cool. There was literally almost not a soul on the beachfront, except actually the guys at Bootleggers were rocking up at work just around that time. I couldn't believe it. I was like, yes, they start early. But it was amazing. It was actually, we want to do it again. We said once a week, eh? So we're going to keep that up. But that's how we love God's people, and we know how much we know we love God when we can't help but wanting to be around with others, wanting to connect with new guys like Brad here is in the front. He's got awesome testimonies. He's recently got saved. God's delivered him of smoking, drinking. Hey? He's doing incredible stuff. Yeah, man. Take this guy out. Do something fun with him. Get to know him. There's lots of visitors. Yeah. Don't take a beer along, but yeah. Make it easy for him. Yeah. Okay. No, it's important. You know, we have to honor you coming out of that stuff. So we want to make it easy to love you, eh? And for you to love us back, eh? Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I loved his heart, man. He said to me, he actually wanted to come to the gathering and take a leave day to try and be there on Saturday. I was like, yo, bro, that's awesome. You've caught something of the heart of what you want to be with God's people, even though he's just recently given his heart to God. So beautiful, eh? Keep powering. All right. So if you're battling to love God's people, what's the keys to loving his people and doing the stuff? 1 John 5 verse 3 says, loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. It's not difficult, guys. 1 John 3 verse, and if you're not sure what his commandments are, this is the commandment. 1 John 3 verse 23 to 24. This is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him, and he with them. And we know he lives in us, because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. Sure. Yeah, so do we know his Spirit, eh? It's very important. And are we loving God by obeying his commandments? His commandment is simple, guys. Just believe that Jesus is the Christ and love others. Your Christianity is simple, eh? Simple but difficult. In fact, impossible without the Lord and his Spirit. When we're in love with God, when the Spirit lives in us, we naturally overflow with his love. And in that place, it's easy to obey his commandment. It's natural to be looking for people for that love to overflow into. If we're running dry, if we're not in his presence, if we're not experiencing his love for us, we're going to just be in a myth place, self-pity, woe is me, it's difficult, it's dry, where's God, he's living in China. We need to be finding him, we need to be finding, going to China and finding him there, because, yeah, he's actually here, he's in our heart, man. He's not far. He's near. There's a scripture that says he's near. He's not far. It's often a state of our heart. God, like, I'm so sorry. I've actually come. I need to repent. I need to make. It's in Acts says, repent, that times of refreshing might come from the Lord. So if you're feeling tired, you're feeling burnt out, it might be that you just need to repent. There might be something in your heart that's grown hard. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. He's so quick to forgive and accept us back, eh? So cool. Yo, I see some new people at the back here. That's awesome, eh? Guys are coming in here. Maybe I didn't notice. Hilda, is that your son, eh? Ah, awesome. Welcome, man. It's awesome seeing new people here, eh? Come on, God. Amazing. Yo, so how are we doing with those commandments, guys? Eh? Yo, hey, when was the last time you had a visitor over, hey, like Hilda's son, inviting him on a Sunday night, breaking into your routine, saying, hey, man, there's a new visitor, there's a Brad. What are you doing on Sunday night, guys? It's 5:30. We got time. I got time. Sounds like Mr. Incredible. I got time. Hey? Like, time for one more superhero moment. Rescue somebody. I got time. Have you got time for people? It's a good question to ask, eh? Okay, so let's keep inviting those guys, having them in your home, listening to their life story. Hey, Brad, how did you get saved? Tell me your testimony. What happened, man? That's what people. That's what loving God, that's what it looks like, guys. It's not complicated. It's just here, hey, what's your testimony? How did you get saved? It tells a lot about a person. When did you get saved? What is the date, my bro? When did you get saved? Eh? Are you sure you're born again? Eh? You say you're a Christian, but when did you get born again? That's a great question to ask. The guy at the guy at the petrol station actually said to me, no, he's born again. He actually asked me, how's this? So cool. He said, I don't put petrol in the car. I've never been asked this. He said, I was like, can I tell you how much do you think I should, I was kind of discussing how much money I should put in. He said, can I tell you how much you should put in the car? I was like, cool. I've never had a petrol jockey tell me like how much money I should put in the tank. And he said, what do you feel? He said, like 350. I was like, cool, let's go 350. And then, that was great. And then, we got into a conversation about God. He's actually born a Muslim. I think one of his parents was Muslim, but his dad was a Christian. And he said he had such a tough life, but he's a born-again Christian. So, hey, man, there's new people. He asked me what church I go to, you know. He said, no, he goes to this other Holy Spirit one just up the road near the BP Church of the Holy Spirit. But he said he's gone back to his home church. But he asked me about my church. Maybe I'll go back again and just invite him. But they're new friends, man. Guys that we can be inviting into church, loving. It's not just in this church. There's actually people outside that are hungry for God, that are hungry for us to listen to their life story, take an interest in them. Like, what's your name? Like, where do you go to? What's your buzz? What's your story? Tell me about your life. Okay. All right. So, take an interest in people, man. Ask God for prophetic gifts to give to people. That's an amazing way of letting God break into their lives. Ask God for scriptures in your quiet time. Send those scriptures to others. To encourage others, send the scriptures to them. Or if God puts somebody in your mind, phone them. Hey, how are you doing, Pete? Like, what's happening, man? God reminds me of him often. I'm like, hey, how's he doing? And often those are just times that break into somebody's life. Could be a turning point for them. All right, so 1 John 3:16-19. It says here, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Yeah, challenging, eh? Yeah? Yeah, open your fridge. That's where we start, opening our fridge. Just ask Jesus to show us people. There's people around us here that need God's love so badly. Who can we love today, God? John 5:19 says, so Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So ask the Holy Spirit. Ask him, God, like, I'm not sure who to love. Ask the Holy Spirit, who can I love this week? Who can I love today? If you can't see them and have coffee, send them a message. Send them a scripture. Send a Pluto courier with something. Or a take-a-lot gift to them. We're good at giving gifts ourselves, I know, but let's give gifts to others. I talk out of experience. Let me do that, Lord, too. Not just order stuff for myself. Hey? Okay. And if you're still not sure, if the Holy Spirit hasn't showed you, then come and chat to Dylan and I or to your home group leader and say, man, who can I love this week? Who can I go and see? Who can I invite for dinner? Hey? The Joneses were a great example of that. We haven't been so good with writing it down, but people were signing underneath their table if they'd come for dinner. And we kind of set a challenge for us as leaders to have people over in our homes and invite them around and to actually see how many names you could get signed, like a competition. No, but it's a good competition in God. It's healthy. But the point is just to spur one another to good works. And yeah, man, an example of that, actually, Tim, just to honor him here as well, was like just practically helping. I mean, I can say the Joneses, they do this, like, don't have to tell them, they do it loads of times. They're very servant-hearted. They're amazing. They're always there to help. But Tim was, where's Tim? Ah, shame, man. Anyway, so we had an eviction last year, and I remember it meant so much to me. Like, we were pouring out our hearts. We had probably one of the hardest years ever. And I remember he said, like, how can I help you? Can I come and help just fix up your home? And he just came through one day for a few hours, and I promise you, it meant so much. Because he didn't just say, like, oh, man, I pray it goes well. He actually got in his car, bought his tools, and we actually got stuck in. And I promise you that, honestly, that bond, like, it's meant so much to me. Like, I want to give up my life for him and help him with his kids because of how much he's done for me. He showed Christ through what he did, through his actions, through actually getting in the car, being inconvenienced, actually giving up your time, all those idols in our lives that we hold so dear, giving up our money, actually sacrificing our lives to love others. Beautiful, eh? It's so worth it because of the end, man. The end is we're going to be in heaven one day and we're going to be able to throw down our crowns and say, Jesus, look what I did for you, Lord. Hey? Isn't that beautiful? It's not just what I spoke about. It's matching up our speech with how we lived out our lives as Christians. So can we live out our lives like this? Are you guys ready for this? To mature in God is to do the stuff. Not just say that we love God and love his people, but actually show it through our actions. Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so those are the keys, guys, to growing in God, is knowing God, is knowing Jesus the sole pursuit of our lives, and do we believe that Jesus is the Christ? Hey, are you convinced of that today? We're going to give an opportunity if you don't believe that he's Christ just now. Are we being with Christ? Are we spending time being transformed by the Holy Spirit in his presence? And are we doing? Are we maturing by loving his people practically? Awesome. So, if Jesus came back to earth in 5-10 seconds, and he asked us like he asked Peter, do you love me? How would you answer him? Huh? His exhortation to us, it's a big word, his encouragement to us would be the same as his words were to Peter then. What did he say? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And he said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. He said it 3 times because we're a little bit deaf sometimes. So if you're not sure if you love God, are we feeding his sheep? Huh? Are we? Is loving Jesus and his sheep the sole pursuit of our lives? It should be, hey? It's so worth it, guys. Everything else is going to burn up. Hey? Naked I came into this earth, and naked I return. We're not going to have, shrouds don't have pockets, guys. Honestly, yeah. We come into this world with nothing, and we leave with nothing. So let's never forget that. Let's go all out for God. Let's pursue him, man. He is so good, so redemptive. I mean, he's transformed my life, like, I'm a different person, and it's because of Jesus. It's because of him, and it's obeying him. There is power in obedience and following his commands. It's that simple.